ولقد خلقنا الإنسان من صلصال من حمأ مسنون.
And indeed, we brought man into being out of dry, ringing clay, which was wrought from black mud.
The Quran here clearly refutes the doctrine that it was after a process of evolution in the course of which man passed through genetic adaptation, involving many stages of animal existence, that he entered the stage of humanity. This Quranic statement is therefore in direct conflict with the opinions that are currently being expressed by some commentators on the Quran who, under the influence of the Darwinian theory of evolution, are striving to lend support to that theory with arguments drawn from the Quran. They do so in spite of the fact that the Quran envisages that man was directly created out of the elements derived from the earth. The material mentioned has been described as
Salsale min hama masnoon.
The word hama in Arabic is used for black mud, which has a bad odor owing to its rottenness or as a result of fermentation. As for the word masnoon, it has two meanings. First, it denotes something smooth and slippery because of its rottenness. Second, the word signifies something that has been fashioned into a particular shape. The word salsal is used for clay, which, once dried, has a ringing sound. These words are clearly indicative of the fact that the skeleton of a species was fashioned out of rotting clay. Once it dried up, it was infused with a soul.
وَالْجَانَّ خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ مِنْ نَارِ السَّمُومِ.
While we had brought the jinn into being before, out of the blazing fire. While we had brought the jinn into being before, out of the blazing fire.
Samum denotes blazing wind. Used in conjunction with nar, the word suggests intense heat. This explains the Quranic statements which mentions the jinn to have been brought into being out of fire.
وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي خَالِقٌ بَشَرًا مِّن صَلْصَالٍ مِّنْ حَمَإٍ مَسْنُونَ.
Recall, when your Lord said to the angels, I will indeed bring into being a human being out of dry, ringing clay wrought from black mud.
فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ.
When I have completed shaping him and have breathed into him of my spirit, then fall you down before him in prostration. When I have completed shaping him and have breathed into him of my spirit.
From this we learn that the soul infused into man is a reflection of God's attributes. We see that man has been invested with life, knowledge, power, will, volition, and other similar attributes. Taken together, these stand for his soul or spirit. It is a mild reflection of the divine attributes bestowed on man who was created out of clay. By dint of the reflection of divine attributes, man became God's vicegerent on earth. By virtue of the same, everything on the earth, including angels, were made to prostrate before man. Every attribute found in human beings owes its origin either to one attribute of God or another. This is evident from the tradition which states, God divided mercy into 100 parts. Of this, he retained 99 parts and sent down to earth just 1 part. It is because of this that creatures are kind to one another, so much so that an animal raises its hoof away from the body of its young, one lest it might hurt it. What, however, distinguishes man from other creatures and makes him superior to them is the comprehensiveness of God's attributes as reflected in man. This idea, however, is quite subtle, and any misunderstanding in grasping it might result in creating the illusory belief that the reflection of a divine attribute amounts to acquiring a part of divinity. That is, of course, altogether out of the question, since divinity is totally beyond the reach of all creatures.
فَسَجَدَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ كُلُّهُمْ أَجْمَعُونَ.
So, the angels, all of them, fell down in prostration.
إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ أَبَى أَن يَكُونَ مَعَ السَّاجِدِينَ.
Except Iblis, he refused to join those who prostrated. Except Iblis, he refused to join those who prostrated.
Al-Baqarah 2:30, footnotes Al-Nisa 4:116, footnotes Al-Araf 7:11, and the relevant notes therein.
قَالَ يَا إِبْلِيسُ مَا لَكَ أَلَّا تَكُونَ مَعَ السَّاجِدِينَ
The Lord inquired, Iblis, what is the matter with you that you did not join those who prostrated?
قَالَ لَمْ أَكُنْ لِأَسْجُدَ لِبَشَرٍ خَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ مِنْ حَمَإٍ مَسْنُونَ
He said, It does not behove of me to prostrate myself before a human being whom you have created out of dry wringing clay wrought from black mud.
قَالَ فَاخْرُجْ مِنْهَا فَإِنَّكَ رَجِيمٌ
The Lord said, Then get out of here. You are rejected.
وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ اللَّعْنَةَ إِلَى يَوْمِ الدِّينِ
And there shall be a curse upon you till the day of recompense. And there shall be a curse upon you till the day of recompense.
This means that Satan will remain cursed till the day of judgment and that he will be punished subsequently for his disobedience in the afterlife.
قَالَ رَبِّ فَأَنظِرْنِي إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ
Iblis said, My Lord, grant me respite till the day when they will be resurrected.
قَالَ فَإِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنظَرِينَ
Allah said, For sure, you are granted respite.
إِلَى يَوْمِ الْوَقْتِ الْمَعْلُومِ
Until the day of a known time.
قَالَ رَبِّ بِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأُزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ
Iblis said, My Lord, in the manner you led me to error, I will make things on earth seem attractive to them, mankind, and lead all of them to error. I will make things on earth seem attractive to them and lead all of them to error.
Satan responded by saying that since he was asked to prostrate before an inferior creature, he was virtually compelled to disobey God. He would therefore make the worldly life attractive to mankind so that they are tempted by it and disobey God. In other words, Satan said that he would make the ephemeral benefits and advantages of worldly life so attractive to man that he would forget all about his vicegerency of God and his accountability to him in the hereafter. Men will thus either altogether forget God, or if they do remember him, they will violate his commands.
إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ
Except those of your servants whom you have singled out for yourself.
قَالَ هَذَا صِرَاطٌ عَلَيَّ مُسْتَقِيمٌ
Allah said, Here is the path that leads straight to me. Allah said, Here is the path that leads straight to me.
The Quranic expression may be translated in two ways. One possible meaning is, Here is the path that leads straight to me. We have understood the verse to mean so, and this is reflected in our translation. Another meaning could be, This is the right way which I have taken upon myself to keep under my protection.
إِنَّ عِبَادِي لَيْسَ لَكَ عَلَيْهِمْ سُلْطَانٌ إِلَّا مَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْغَاوِينَ
Over my true servants you will be able to exercise no power. Your power will be confined to the erring ones, ones who choose to follow you. Your power will be confined to the erring ones, those who choose to follow you.
This Quranic statement may also be interpreted in two ways. One is that which is reflected in our translation. The other meaning could be, You will have no power over my servants, for instance mankind, to force them to disobedience. However, those who have fallen into error and have decided to follow you out of their own volition, they will be allowed to do so. We will not forcefully prevent them from proceeding in that direction. According to the first interpretation, the basic idea that the verse conveys is that worshiping God constitutes the true way that leads man to God. Satan is unable to exercise any dominating influence over the people who choose to follow this way. God will single out such people exclusively for himself. Satan also acknowledges that he is unable to lead such people astray. However, those who disobey God will lose the road to their felicity and success. They will fall prey to Satan and will follow him blindly and will be vulnerable to all his contrivings. Were one to accept the second interpretation, the verse purports to mention Satan's future plan. He would do everything possible to make the worldly life attractive to human beings. He would do so in order to make people heedless of God and turn them away from obeying God. God verifies this, pointing out that Satan was being granted a fixed period of time during which he had the opportunity to attempt to mislead human beings. It was clear, however, that God had not granted him the power to force people to err. It is also evident from the above verse that Satan accepted the fact that he would be unable to mislead those whom God singled out for himself. This might lead to a misconception that God would arbitrarily choose some people to the exclusion of others and make them immune to Satan's contriving. However, there is no basis for this misunderstanding, since God makes it unequivocally clear that only those given to error will follow Satan. In other words, those who are on the right path will not fall prey to Satan. These are the ones whom God will single out for himself.
وَإِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ لَمَوْعِدُهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ
Surely, hell is the promised place for all of them. Surely, hell is the promised place for all of them.
In order to fully appreciate the purpose of this story, it is important to bear in mind its context. Looking at the theme set out in verses 1, footnotes, and 18, footnotes, it becomes clear that the story of Adam and Satan, peace be upon him, has been recounted so as to warn the unbelievers that they had been misled by their eternal enemy, Satan, and that they were following his ways. As a result, they were sliding into those depths of error and degradation, which out of his jealousy, Satan had always wanted to push all mankind into. On the contrary, the Prophet, peace be upon him, has a compassionate concern for all mankind and seeks to liberate them. He also wishes to lead them to the heights of success and honor to which they were entitled by virtue of the position accorded to them under God's scheme of things. In view of the above, it seems astonishing that people are often inclined to look upon their enemies as friends and their friends as enemies. It is also emphasized that there is just one way which can ensure man's salvation and felicity. That way consists of sincerely worshiping and serving God. All other ways are Satan's, and each of them will directly lead to hell. Another truth that is brought home through this story is that the unbelievers themselves are to blame for their error. Satan can at best try to delude people by making the worldly life seem overly attractive to them. However, if people fall into any error, that is entirely their own act, and for all such acts, they alone will bear all responsibility.
لَهَا سَبْعَةُ أَبْوَابٍ لِكُلِّ بَابٍ مِّنْهُمْ جُزْءٌ مَقْسُومٌ
There are seven gates in it, and to each gate a portion of them has been allotted. And to each gate a portion of them has been allotted.
The gates of hell will correspond to the kind of error and sin which a person commits, making him deserving of being cast into hell. Some people deserve being cast into hell because of polytheism, some because of hypocrisy, some because of excessive self-indulgence, some because of their injustice and oppression and the harm they have done to other human beings. There are still others who deserve to be cast into hell on the basis that they propagated some outrageously misleading doctrines, or had made unbelief prevail, or had worked to spread corruption and shameful immorality.